Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Helias Crusaders. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Tom Rackers of the News Tribune. Before Tom and I start to talk about things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Tom's conversation with Helias head coach Chris Henches.
Well, Chris, this is a big week, but let's look back really quick at last week. Capital City, kind of a business-like, got it done and got out of there.
Yeah, you know, our ones played really well, in all three phases. And, you know, we got up to a big lead at halftime and 48-0. When we put our reserves in the second half, our twos and our threes. And I was really happy with the way they played, although, you know, the only thing frustrating about the end of that game was, you know, offensively we only got four snaps in the second half. I was hoping to have our twos and three offense a chance to run a few more plays, but that's the way it goes with the mercy clock. You know, it goes really quick, and Cap City did a good job of running the football in the second half, and they really milked that clock, and the game was over before you knew it.
Yeah. This week, first game ever against Jeff City. Started 0-3, but they've won three in a row and are obviously playing better.
Yeah, I told Coach Bailey this week, I said, you know, from week one, his team has made just dramatic improvement, and that's a testament to his, of course, he's a great football coach and his staff and the work they're doing and the kids' hard work. And, you know, we're expecting a heck of a football game on Friday night. 64 years in the making, I know. You know, this first matchup is going to be special. And, you know, I was telling someone the other day that, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road, it's just going to be a game. You know, yeah. It's a game like all the other games.
But it will be a big game.
It will always be a big game, yeah. Because it's Jeff City. But this one has special emphasis because it's never been done. We've played them in every other sport. We've never played them in football. So, you know, we're excited. Our boys are really excited about the opportunity. I know our coaches, we've all worked hard. We've had a good week of practice and just excited about kickoff.
Have you noticed anything special in practice? Guys being more focused, more, you know, on to paying attention?
Well, I would say this has been our best week of practice. I think we don't have to say much. You know, the boys know what this game means to the Helias community, to their families, to their dads and brothers and uncles and cousins. Everyone who's ever played Helias football knows that this is a really special game. And, you know, I think they've probably been hearing it from more than just the coaches that this is a really special game and you guys go out and do your best and, you know, make the Helias community proud.
You know, you look at the Jays. David Bethune has really stepped up at running back and is helping them move the football, isn't he?
He's extremely fast. You know, they've got weapons in the skills position, and that certainly has gotten our attention. You know, that's what you worry about is that speed shock. And I think we had a good week of practice. Our scout team have done a good job trying to simulate that, you know, I formation zone and spinner offense that they kind of evolved to, but we can't simulate that speed, and that's what you're afraid of, is that speed is going to get on the edge or it's going to bust through the hole and we won't be able to catch it. So we're going to have to really play good pursuing defense to try to keep that speed bottled up.
And defensively, they've done a pretty good job, especially in the last 4 weeks. I just go back to the Rockbridge game where they only gave up 23 points.
Yeah, and they've really changed their defensive scheme from early part of the season, and they're playing much more sound defense. They're really stopping the run, putting a 7 men in the box. They're going to dare you to throw the football, and they got good athletes in the back end. I think their defensive scheme is really good. It's going to cause us some problems, but I think our offensive staff have put together a good game plan. The kids have executed it well all week in practice, but execute it in practice versus your scout team is a little different than actually executing it on a Friday night. So we feel good about what we got together. We just have to go out and play.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, that was Helias head coach Chris Henches. And Tom, I know the thing that we want to spend the most time on is this coming week. Let's talk about last week for just a brief moment. 51-6 win at Capital City, kind of what we expected, but Helias did what it was supposed to do. You know, played well offensively, played well defensively, took care of business.
Yeah, I mean, scored on all 7 of their first half possessions, which is what they wanted to do. And also, you know, got some of the number twos at least got in late in the second quarter. I'm sorry, and so they got a little bit of quality time. That the third and fourth quarters, Capital City really ran the ball well and ran a lot of clock off. And with the running clock, that just eats it up. You know, and Chris said the only downside he saw from the game was Helias offense only had 4 snaps in the last 2 quarters.
Right.
So, it was, yeah, it was basically what we expected. You know, Capital City is good. I mean, you can see that they've got some pieces. It's just going to take some time.
Sure. So we turn our focus to another Crosstown Showdown this week, the Crosstown Showdown that we've all been waiting for quite a while. Helias 4-0 in the CMAC. Jeff City 3-3, 3-1 in the CMAC. But most importantly is the fact that Helias and Jefferson City are playing each other in football. It's been a long time coming. You've been at the News Tribune since 1985. You're a 1980 graduate of Helias High School, so you've been kind of around the sports scene in this town for a long time. Is it overstating to say this is a big game this week, no matter what the teams are, what the records are, how good anybody is this year?
I think the best way for me to describe this is when I first heard rumors about the CMAC starting and that it would, you know, that who was going to be in it. My first thought was, does this mean football too?
Right.
Because it has been so ingrained in my head that they were never going to play football. It's like,
right.
Oh my goodness.
Right.
This is coming. You just had to think about it for a minute because it had just been, you know, like you said, been around it for so long that in my head, it was never going to happen.
How much of this is just, let's send a big thank you to Sedalia Smith-Cotton? Because, you know, for years, and you and I would talk about this kind of after work when we were, you know, it just shooting the breeze, and we're talking about this, that, and the other, and we kept saying, okay, this is kind of a no-brainer for, you know, Helias, Jeff City, then add the Columbia schools, especially when Battle came along, but that's only five. We got to, you know, something else has got to happen. So then we start hearing, okay, maybe there's rumors of a second public high school, and then we thought, okay, but even if that happens here, and we get, you know, the three Jeff City schools and three Columbia schools, that's just six. That's still not enough. So we just need something else. So I think everything just kind of had to keep happening slowly and slowly. And so you add the second public high school, you add Sedalia Smith-Cotton, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, okay, now this is a reality. And yes, seven's not a great number still for some conferences. So that's just, but you know what? We'll take seven so we can get something like this.
It's almost like you've read the column that's going to be in Friday's News Tribune that I'm just finishing up.
I can tell the future.
Yeah, it's and I think, and I don't want to spoil for the, well, hopefully you're listening to this after you've read the column, that really, yeah, the voters approving funding for Capital City High School helped, because but you, like you said, that got us to six, and I don't think there was any big rush between the Columbia and the Jeff City schools to get it done because, I mean, they were playing each other in everything already.
Exactly.
Except
for
Jace Elias football.
Right.
And so, it really, joining a conference, getting together for a conference, wasn't going to do a whole lot. But when Sedalia got involved, they deserve a lot of the credit for getting this done because while this would have, the conference eventually would have happened, they were the ones that really kind of pushed it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think for the other five, because I'll count Jeff City and Capital City as one entity because what one does, the other one would do, there was no rush.
Right.
Because there was, why?
It had been so long.
Yeah, it had been so long. I mean, yeah, it was one of those, we'll get around to it one of these days, no big deal.
Right.
But when Sedalia really, you know, just talking to the athletic directors, they grabbed the bull by the horns and said, hey, let's get this done.
Yeah.
They organized it. They wrote all of the bylaws. You know, everybody kind of said, this is your idea. Run with it. And they ran with it.
Yeah.
And so they did a lot of the legwork and the grunt work to get this done. And for people that really want to see this game, you need to send them like a basket of chocolates or something because it wouldn't have happened as soon as it had if it wasn't for what happened at Smith-Cotton.
Yeah, and it was always like you were always looking for that magical kind of seventh team, and it was somewhere, you know, people would talk about Camdenton, but Camdenton likes the conference that it was in. It was always kind of locked into it, so that was kind of a non-starter. And then it was kind of like, well, maybe if Blair Oaks gets big enough, Blair Oaks could leave the Tri-County and join this conference. They were probably never going to get big enough to the point where it was going to be kind of an equitable numbers type thing, especially with as big as, you know, some of the other schools. you know, so you're always kind of looking out there going, okay, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? What can we find? Maybe somebody else. And then you start stretching farther out and you go, well, maybe we'll reach out to, I don't know, somebody, you know, out in Wentzville or something. But it's like, why would they want to come, you know, farther over? You know, so at a certain point, it was almost like it had to kind of be Sedalia.
Yeah,
and so it was
you needed a big school that was kind of stuck out on an island by itself.
Right.
That was having scheduling problem of its own to kind of, you know, to help itself, but also it's going to turn out to help everybody else.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we talk about seven. I think they're going to get to eight one of these days. This is just veering off because I think we are going to get another Columbia Public School sometime in the next 10, 15 years. I think they're saving a spot for them. And so then you get to eight. It's a perfect number.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if it wasn't for Sedalia, I don't know that we'd be talking about this game right now.
Yeah. I think it also can't, you know, be understated that this is something that many of us in town wanted for years. Many people in town did not want for years.
Yes.
I'm a transplant. I moved here in 92, and I, first of all, could never understand why we didn't have a second public high school, but I also couldn't understand why, you know what, you play in everything else. Just get it done, you know, and especially when you looked at it, the best games that I ever covered when I worked for my 22 years with the News Tribune were always Jeff City Helias games. It was always, you know, the ones you remember or the things that you can quickly, you know, pull from your memory banks and go, oh my gosh, in that sport, that was great. And in this sport, this was great. And I mean, you know, just the level of competition that arose from it from the standpoint of each team lifted its play whenever that game was on the schedule, you just go, man, this could also be so fantastic for football. Let's get it done. But the longer it went, you're almost like, I'm like you said, you just go, this is never going to happen. It's just not, because at a certain point, the inertia of it all just becomes something where you just go, we can't stop this ball rolling. It's just going to keep not rolling towards a game. And then it rolled towards a game.
Yeah, you know, when you were here, you covered boys basketball.
Mm-hmm.
The crowds for Jeff City Helias games.
Fantastic,
packed.
Yeah.
I do wrestling.
Yeah.
Some nights, you get 50, 75 people for a wrestling duel.
Right.
Jace Elias, place is pretty doggone full.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not as full as it used to be. I mean, they used to hang from the Raptors, but it's still by far the best attended duel. Baseball games.
Oh, yeah.
50, 75 people. Vivian Field and the Legion are packed for the people were hungry for that, for Jace Elias competition in anything.
I would go to volleyball duels, and it would be me and about seven of my closest friends watching the match. Then you go and you watch Jace Elias, and it's capacity crowd, before the freshman match. So you go freshman, JV, varsity. There's not a seat in the place. It's the gym is just stinking hot the whole night long because it's packed with bodies. But it was awesome. It was a whole different mentality, and it's like this can only be good for football as well.
Now, but I'm going to put, there are people that would argue that that is the reason why they didn't play football, because this is obviously a high school sports hungry town.
Right.
And you can amp that up 10 times when it comes to football, because this is a, sorry other sports, this is a football town.
Right.
I think, and I bring some of this up in the column, I think that there were people in positions of power through the years that at both schools that thought this wasn't going to be a good idea because it would potentially just tear the town apart.
Yeah.
They played in football.
Sure.
Now, I think that thinking has perhaps evolved through the last few years.
Right.
But I think that was the thinking, that it was just, they couldn't play football because of what would happen.
And again, my pushback as an outsider was always, why do we go to the negative? Why can't we look at it and go, you know what? For all these other sports, this is a great game. And yes, it's hotly contested. And yes, you see rivalries. And yes, you see players that would otherwise play each other in open gyms and play each other in the summertime and get along fine. And then all of a sudden, it gets real chippy in those games. But it also was one of those things where you just go, hey, let's look at the great things about it. Just like, look at the crowds. Look at what's going back and forth between the student section. Look at just how much fun everybody's having. And yes, it was always a crushing loss.
But is that fun, though? I mean, some people, if you're an administrator, do you look at that as fun?
No, probably not. But I also feel like, you know what? Is it worth the headaches for what you get out of it?
Okay, there you go.
You know, then yes, it's probably, it's not your favorite day to show up to work if you're having to do crowd control that night. Sure, probably not. But again, I also feel like, you know, again, it just is one of those things where I think the actual sports for the purity of itself, the actual performance on the playing field, the playing court, whatever it is, it was just always helped by that whole thing.
But I think something that we also can't overlook is the fact that, honestly, for a long time, the games probably wouldn't have been competitive.
True.
Jeff City would have held a big edge over Helias.
Sure.
There was someone, and I'm not going to give how many years ago, but it was more than a few years ago. We talked about it, and who knows? So he knows something about high school football. Has been involved, and I'm not going to say who it was, but said if the Jays and Helias played for a decade, he said the Jays would probably win 5 or 6 or 7 pretty handily. 2 or 3 would be competitive, and Helias might win 1.
Yeah.
So at that point, you know, it's a no-win situation for Jeff City.
Yeah.
And Helias, again, would have had nothing to lose, basically, besides playing that game.
Yeah.
Now, it is not that way these days, and it probably hasn't been that way for, I'll give you back to maybe the mid-90s.
Right.
I think things have started to even out a little bit in there. And now I think it will be a competitive series.
Yeah.
But now Helias looks poised that, you know, if the series continues, they might get on a bit of a run, but we don't know.
Right.
And I just think maybe now is a good time to get it started.
Yeah. So now let's kind of focus maybe on this year then, because we're finally to this year. I do feel like you've got a year where it's an intriguing matchup. Like you say, there have been years where, you know, one was up, one was down, and it's happened for both of them. And it's all cyclical. It's all based on, you know, kind of what athletes are running through the school at that particular moment. But I also feel that this is just such a strange year anyway, that this is maybe a fitting year for this to start from the standpoint of go, you know what, if we're going to start it, might as well start in 2020, because it's just a year where we've seen things that we've never seen before. So let's do it. But I also think it's an intriguing matchup from the standpoint of, okay, this is a Jays team that maybe 3 weeks ago was not maybe necessarily, quote-unquote, in trouble, but it was trying to iron out some issues. I think 3 weeks later, they have ironed out some issues, especially from the standpoint where you go, okay, no one right now has been able to kind of solve the Helias offense and slow them down. It's just steamrolling right now. But I also feel like the defense for the Jays has maybe figured some things out in the last couple weeks, and they've put together some better defensive efforts and are starting to limit teams and giving the ball to their offense more often. So this is probably a good time for this game, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, with Scott Bailey, it's just taken a little bit of time to get what he wanted to run and for it to evolve. You know, Chris said that you watch what, you know, their season opener against Wentzville Holt, to watching them the last couple weeks, he said it looks like a completely different football team. Mm-hmm. You know, they're running different stuff. They've adapted to their personnel, and they've kind of changed a few things around. And he said, you know, they look a lot different, and they look a lot better. And he was very complimentary of the way they played. You know, and we talk about them winning 3 in a row. To me, the most impressive game was the loss that right before that at Rockbridge, where they held Rockbridge to 23 points and, took a field goal in the last minute to beat them. Because I've seen Rockbridge, and I could see what they had offensively, and to hold them to 23, I thought was pretty impressive.
Yeah. So how much of this is just going to be, and Jason Strickland and I talked about this in the Jays podcast a little bit, how much of this is just going to be maybe a keep-away type game, where maybe if the Jays are going to have success, it's not only going to be the Jays' defense playing better, but the Jays' offense keeping control of the ball, keeping the ball away from Helias, where you go, okay, you know what, if we give them 7 possessions in the game, there's a good chance they might score on 5 or 6 of them. If we give them 4 possessions in a game because we're holding the ball for as long as possible, then we got a better than puncher's chance to maybe find a way to win this game.
I think, you know, it goes back to that second half of the Capital City game. Helias can't score if they don't have the ball.
Right.
And so the Jays, I'm sure offensive strategy is going to be, we're just going to grind 3 yards, run clock, and get some first downs, and just try to keep the ball away from them. And I think people have tried, you know, that's probably a lot of people's theories against them. They can't score if they don't have it. I don't know, but the problem for the opposition has been Hawaii's defense is pretty good too.
Right.
And, you know, they've given a, you know, they are allowing about somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 points a game, but they're coming a lot of some of those touchdowns are coming on just big plays that get broken. People are not driving the field on they're getting stops. And so to me, the most impressive part of the Hawaii's defense this year is this front four and then two linebackers. The front six have really done a great job of stopping the run game.
Yeah.
And so I think that I'm interested to see how the Jeff City offense, which is now slowly kind of turning into a little bit of what Bailey was running down at Lamar, is starting to pick up some of those tendencies, how Hawaii's defense tries to combat that.
And I guess to me the interesting part too is, okay, we know that the Hawaii's offense can score. We know that they're very productive. The thing that kind of goes unspoken sometimes or unappreciated sometimes is, can you be patient enough when teams do have the ball for so long periods of time because they're trying to keep away from you to not try to score the second you get it back and to try to still kind of stay in what you do, stay in what makes you successful, and not just try to, you know, it's kind of like, you know, coaches in basketball always talking about, well, there's no 15-point shot, so when we get down 15, we can't just win it back right away. Same thing with football. You want to score as soon as you get the ball back, but how much of that is just going to be trying to be patient and not trying to maybe then do something rash that gets you into trouble, maybe causes a turnover and gives the Jays opportunities?
Yeah, that's what Chris was talking about. You know, the last couple of years they played Monroe City and their wing tee offense, that Hawaii's offensive guys just got to be patient. You just realize at some point we're going to get the ball back. It's going to be okay. We're going to get our share of possessions.
Yeah.
And they know that, and they know that there's – I don't know that you know they're not going to take the big play out of the Hawaii's offense because Hawaii's has got so many playmakers that they can do that to you. It's to me, you know, Chris talking about their defense. He says we're going to have problems running the ball against them. He said the way they line up, he can see where Hawaii's has shown the ability to grind things out at times this year themselves.
Yeah.
But he says we're going to have a problem doing that. It could come down to can our receivers make plays against their talented secondary when we throw the ball, because we are going to try to throw the ball.
I think another interesting subplot about this game is again, if this hadn't been taking place in 2020, there's not enough overflow seating in the world that would have been created to handle this game.
Nope.
Obviously, that's going to be a concern this year. I mean, there are going to be caps on it, but it does sound like, you know, both sides are doing what they can to make sure that as many people as, you know, can possibly responsibly go see this game can go see it. But how much of this is just going to be an interesting feel to this game from the standpoint of, you know what, it's not going to be as well attended as it would have in an ideal situation?
Yeah, everybody I've talked to, everybody, that's one of the first things they bring up, is it's a shame that we're in the situation we're in and for this game, because that place would have been packed.
Yeah.
You know, Tony, you and I know that, heck, we might have had to walk here from the office to get down there for
right.
a parking spot.
Yeah.
You know, I thought there'd be 8,000-10,000 people in there.
Yeah.
The place holds 5. I thought the track would have been lined.
Yeah.
Everybody been hanging outside the fence.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, I think estimate there might be 1,500 to 2,000 people there. You know, with the player cards. I don't know. It's going to be different. I asked Chris, whether it was going to be different, because it's not going to be that necessary electric atmosphere from the stands. And he said, yeah, but I think the kids after, you know, 2 or 3 plays, they won't even notice what's going on in the stands. It'll be just another football
yeah.
game to them.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that after about 20 minutes or so
that's
of talking
it.
About this stuff, unless you got something else you wanted to touch on, I think it's we've been waiting years and years and years for this game. We've been waiting years and years for a prediction about this game. So who do you see winning installment number one in this beginning of a rivalry?
Well, unfortunately, I'm kind of locked in as my pick was in the paper on Thursday.
Okay.
I picked Hawaii's to win 42-21. I just don't know that Jeff City can get enough stops that they can win the game. Unfortunately, in their regard, I think Hawaii's offense will find the end zone enough that they could be somewhat of a comfortable victory.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Tom Rackers, I'm Tony Hawley, saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.